Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
The church is not going backwards. The church is not settling. The church is advancing. We have got some work to do. Would you agree to that? We've got some work to do, and he's calling us forward to do it. We've been talking about this thing of truth and the battle that's going on against truth and the assault that is rising. And you know, it's been going on ever since the world was created and Adam and Eve came. Bless you. The thing that started way back was the deception, and the first deception in it to mankind was, did God really say? Well, yes, he did. So the whole thing, you know, it's been that way for quite some time, but I'm telling you, it has intensified so much. And we're in the battle. We truly, truly are. We're in the battle for truth. The Bible says in John chapter 3:21, it says, he who practices the truth. How many of you know that truth has to be practiced? Just like all these guys have to practice their instruments, you have to practice the truth that you know. He said, he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. When you practice the truth, when you and I learn how to practice truth, that we will manifest to them that what we're doing has come from God. That's when you just practice the truth. So we've got to understand that we cannot back up. We can't fade away. We're going to be going forward. The Bible says that we should know the truth. He said before that. So we like this part. It said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But you know, there's a little something before that verse that's part of that verse, and it says this: if you abide in my word, then you're truly my disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make. See, this thing about knowing the truth is about abiding in him. So we've got this thing, this war that is going on with truth. The Bible says over in John chapter 8, it says in 46, it says, Jesus says, because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. See, the truth needs to be what? Spoken. Amen. Oh, well, they already know. They already heard. They need to hear it. If you're a carrier of truth, you need to speak the truth. You and I need to be able to say what's true and what's not true. You know, so this thing about, well, how do we fade away from truth? How is it that we don't follow up with truth, or we don't pursue the truth, or we don't push or be a crusader for the truth? How is it that we fall away from that? Well, there's a verse that I want to give you. James chapter 3, verse 14, 15 says this. If you have bitter jealousy, number one, and selfish ambition, number two, in your heart, and you have become arrogant, number three, you will lie against the truth. So, well, no, I'm a little bit bitter, but I'm all right. Nope. No, you're not all right either. You're walking in a way that will cause you to lie against truth, what's true. You want to hear those again?
Yes, sir.
Did you get them?
Bitter, selfish, or arrogant?
Bitter, jealousy. Selfish ambition. And arrogant in your heart. Or prideful. You will lie against the truth. He goes on and says, this wisdom is not which comes down from above. This stuff is earthly, natural, and demonic. Well, I can be bitter and not be demonic. Not according to this. There's a demon. I'm not saying you're carrying a demon. I'm not saying you are a demon. Don't hear me say that. But you can be under a demonic influence by being bitter. Yes. demonic influence by having, it's all about me. Or prideful, you can have that demonic influence about being prideful. And he says, if any of those things begin to happen, you will lie against the truth. Boy, that's powerful. See, so we can't entertain these things. He says, well, what about my ministry? What about mine? What about mine? Well, can't answer that question. You with me? God can. But if you have so much selfish ambition that everything you do is about you, then you're already beginning to learn how to lie against what's true. I'm not saying everything you say is a lie. The Bible says that's how it starts. Those three things are some of the things that will cause you to see truth and then lie about it. 2 Timothy 3:8 says this, they are those men who oppose the truth. Those men have corrupt minds. If you start opposing the truth, there's a corruption that's already beginning in your mind. In other words, it isn't pure. Everybody understand that? So the reason we're talking about that, truth is so vital for today. There are so many lies, so many things being told that are not true, and so many Christians that are believing some of the lies. So we've got to refocus. We've got to get our focus back on Him. And we've got to allow how many of you have the Holy Spirit residing inside you? Just wave at me. You know He's there. You talk to Him. You know, but you know what? One of the reasons Jesus, the Father, gave you the Holy Spirit is so He could guide you into some truth. No, some ain't in there. All truth. He knows all truth. He is the truth. And He has given to us, this word has been given to us to guide us. And the Holy Spirit's been given to us to guide us through this and guide us in our life and guide us to all truth. That's the reason it's vitally important that we acknowledge the Holy Spirit in our daily living. Acknowledge the Word and acknowledge. But you know, this thing about this, the Word, you know, is that if we have not settled and we do not understand that this is God's Word, if we have problems with that, we're already on shaky ground. If we have to know that these scriptures, they are God's Word. Yes or no? Yes. Why is that important? Because in it, He is the one that defines what good is. He is also the one who defines, come on, He defines what good is, and He also defines what evil is. His definition. Does it matter? Absolutely. He is the one that defines. We've got organizations, we've got things that all around us that are trying to redefine our world by coming up with their own definitions, and they want to do their own thing concerning truth. But you know, there's a passage that we'll go there now. There's a passage over in Isaiah. You can turn there. Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. It says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Who substitute darkness for light and substitute light for darkness. Who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. All of a sudden, it's just flip-flopped. Everything is just flip-flopped. Unconnected to what God says about good and evil. See, when the Bible here says that you're calling good, you're calling what God says is good, you're calling it evil. You're calling what God says is evil, you're calling it good. See, there's just the connection with God is not it. With truth is not there. You're defining your own truth. You're making up your own truth. And he goes on and says, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. I was, Brennan and I was watching a show. What was that? Chateau something? What? Escape to the Chateau. We've been watching that. Just very, anyway. His little daughter is there, and he said, you know, she said something. He said, you're so smart. She said, beautiful, you mean. I just love that, you know. She already knows she's smart, but she wants him to say that she's beautiful too. You know what he said? You're just like your mama. What's that got to do with the message? Nothing. I just thought I'd tell you. Anyway, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink. What does that mean? They're champions of drunkenness. Then he says, woe to those who justify the wicked for a bribe. Justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right. Well, I tell you, if we're not living in that day today, we're all asleep. Part of this says it means that you will honor the dishonorable and you will dishonor what's honorable. Then it goes on with verse 24. It says, so their root will become like rot. Start doing this. He said, your foundation becomes like rot. The root of what you're trying to plant will become like rot. And your blossom, in other words, your fruitfulness will fly away like dust. Why is that? He said, because they have rejected the law of God of hosts and they have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. In other words, they have rejected the truth. Start rejecting the truth, and this is what you're going to look at. You're going to start saying, what's evil? You're going to start saying, that's pretty good. That ain't too bad. No, if God said it's evil, guess what it is? Evil. That's the reason you got to settle it right here. It's got to be in your heart that this is settled. This is truly God's word, and I have the Spirit of God that's going to lead me through this and going to lead me in my walk. So we have to understand that this is going on. Over in 2 Timothy, it says this, 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 4 says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. I know people that all they want from any leaders is to be exhorted. Just exhort me. Don't reprove me. Don't rebuke me. Just encourage me. How many of you know that when you get a true rebuke, a true reproof, that is encouragement. You're hearing the truth that's going to help change you. Amen. I know people say, pat me on the back, but don't correct me. Well, then you'll just wind up doing wrong things. Preach the word in season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. With great, now here, just don't walk up and start doing it. He said, you do this and you do this with great patience and instruction. Do it with great patience and instruction. Why? Because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't put up with the truth. The time's coming when they won't put up with the truth. And what they'll have the itching ears and they'll want their ears to be tickled and they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. That's not all. And they will turn away their ears from the truth. Is it possible to turn away from the truth? Yeah, absolutely. That's the reason you need preaching. You need preaching that is exhorting you, that is encouraging you, that is reproving you, and that's rebuking you. You know, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll share it with you in just a moment. But it also says, and you will turn aside to myths. I like that. I like the way that sounds. Yep. Well, I'm pulling the reins back. You have to be careful. Promises are made all the time, and a lot of different promises are made all the time that you shouldn't even be promised. I mean, the promises of God you have. But there are some things that people are promising you that they'll never fulfill it. They don't intend to fulfill it. Why? They're eagerly, the Bible talks about, there's the people that will eagerly seek you out and be commendable about it, but what they're after is shutting you up. Oh. What they're after is shutting you up, shutting you down, shutting us down, shutting anybody down. That's found over in Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. Have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? They eagerly seek you. They eagerly hunt you out. And they do that by being very, very commendable to you. They'll eagerly seek you out, but not commendably for your good, but commendably to shut you up. Because the Bible says they wish to shut you out in order that you may seek them and not him. That's in the Bible. So we have to be wise people. We have to be a people that know the truth. Anyway. We have to be a people that, you know, we talked about cancel culture last week. A little bit last week, and about, you know, I mean, nowadays, all I got to do in some circles, all I got to do is disagree with Pastor John, just disagree with him. And then I'll be called a racist. I'm telling you the truth. Now, it might not be in this circle, but in other circles, if he was to say something and I disagreed with him, you disagreeing with him, then you're a racist. It isn't true. Is it? No. Not true. But see, what are they saying? Okay. What you just did, they're saying, what you just did is evil. And all I did was disagree. If that's for me, tell them I'm busy. I'm messing with you. I really am. Whoever that is, I ask your forgiveness. I did that one time in a larger church, and the pastor was sitting on the front row, and his phone rang right in the middle of the message, and it kept ringing, and finally he answered it. He just didn't shut it off. He answered it. Hello? And I told the rest of the congregation, I said, now, y'all may not know whose phone's ringing, but I'm telling you, it's your pastor right here. It's his phone. His phone's ringing. But I knew him. I knew him dearly. We still know each other, and we still dear to each other. But here's another thing about, you know, you might have the cancel culture, but now how about this thing about being woke? Well, that's a good thing. Mm-mm. It is a false awakening. Amen. Being woke is a fault. And I know there are going to be people that's going to say, I can't believe you. Well, listen to the definition of woke. A perceived awareness. A perceived awareness of issues that concern social justice and racial justice. It's a perceived awareness. Now, who's doing the perceiving? The woke ones. It's not based on truth. As a matter of fact, it's only based on the truth as they say it is. So being woke is a counterfeit awakening. I'm telling you the truth. Right now, I'm telling you the truth. This thing about this perceived thing that we're going to rise up and... Now, I know there's racial injustice. I know there's social injustice. But it needs to be true and not something that somebody just made up. See, this racial injustice would be, I disagreed with him. A woke person said, you should have never disagreed with him. You may hurt his feelings. He may not like that. He deserves to have his own opinion, and you need to agree with it. No, no, no. I'm not that woke. I'm awake, but I ain't woke. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm really trying to tell you and understand that there are organizations that are fighting truth so hard because they lose control when they invite truth in. As long as they don't invite truth in, they can slide this scale of whatever they say true, whatever it is. And by the way, it'll be true today, but it won't be true tomorrow to them. Okay. See, when the truth comes, it's narrow to them. Well, guess what? Narrow is the way. So now I don't like the narrow places. Well, the narrow places is what you're going to go through in order to get to the kingdom. It is through much tribulation that you enter. Listen, when you're going through tribulation, understand this, that you're entering new arenas of the kingdom that you haven't seen before. It is through much tribulation that you enter the kingdom. That tribulation is that narrow place on a bottle. It's like this, and the neck narrows down. So that's where all that tribulation comes. It's tough getting out of this. Man, it's tough getting out. Tough getting out. Yeah, yeah. But guess what? When you get through it, look at what you can see. Y'all with me? All right. So watch out for this counterfeit that goes on. And let's say something else about this thing. Just because the majority says a lie doesn't become truth, a wrong doesn't become right, and evil doesn't become good just because it is accepted by the majority. And to say that again, a lie does not become truth, wrong does not become right, and evil does not become good just because they voted on it. Y'all get anything? I've got to hurry. Ray Hughes says, I feel like a garden hose hooked up to a fire hydrant. Romans 1. Let's look at this real quick, and then I'll try to close in just a few minutes. Are you learning anything? Okay. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." So he's saying the wrath of God is being revealed from the heavens about what he doesn't like and what he does like. He said, and it reveals against those who suppress the truth. That is key. Those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. There are people that will suppress the truth. And he says, because that which is known of God, here's how it happens, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. Verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen in nature. Have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so they are without excuse. All of creation is a revealing that he's God. All of his attributes are revealing that he's God. And they know it. How do we know that they know it? He said, even though they knew God. See, some want to take, even though they were born again. This does not mean they're born again. He just described what they know. They know by the evidence that they've seen, they know something bigger than me has created this. And he said, so though they know that that's to be God, they may not call him God. He said, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They didn't acknowledge him as God. How many of you know that we're living in a country that a lot of people do not acknowledge him as God? And they want the rest of the United States to follow that same speculation. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of a corruptible man, of birds, four-footed creatures, and four-footed animals and crawling creatures, bugs. I just thought I'd make it easy. They exchanged the glory of God for a bug. Somebody told them something about this bug. Whoa! Anyway. This thing about being futile in their speculations is they're incapable of producing any useful result. They want to get rid of God because he's the rule maker. They want to slide him out of the picture so they don't have to do what he said. They can do what they want. You know, I read something the other day, and it's so true. It says this. It says, when exposing a crime is treated as committing a crime, you are ruled by criminals. When exposing a crime is treated like committing a crime, you are ruled by criminals. Suppressing the truth, when somebody says it, you will suppress the very revelation that God wants to give you in the future. When you start suppressing the truth as you know it, and you start suppress it, the revelation that he wants to show you is also suppressed. Y'all okay? Because the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, said, but the Spirit explicitly says, in the latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrine of demons. By means of hypocrisy of liars, they have seared their own conscience with like having it seared with a branding iron. In other words, what does that mean? There's no sensitivity with what's good and what's evil. There's no sensitivity anymore. Why? That conscience has been seared. Why? They've rejected the truth. By the way, this falling away does not mean one who has belonged to God. This falling away does not mean that. It means that from the beginning, they stood far away from God. Okay. It matters. It matters how you teach this. Go back and study it. It matters how you teach it. Are y'all with me? You listening? I only have 20 more pages and we'll be through. No. Verse 24 in Romans chapter 1. Verse 24 in Romans chapter 1. Therefore, because they've done this, because they've exchanged the glory of God for another image, therefore God gave them over. God gave them over to the lust of their heart to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. There's a God, but I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to go this way. I'm going to go the lying way. I like this better. This feels better. It's easier. So they've exchanged it, the truth of God, for a lie, and they have worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. Right? So this thing about give, he said, I will give them over. He says it three times in this passage. What does give him over mean? Give them over. What does that mean? It means his restraining influence has been removed. His restraining influence has been removed. Meaning that he will let them have their own way without interfering. Now, think about that. This is the word of God because they're suppressing the truth, because they're not wanting the truth. They don't want the truth. Verse 26, and for that reason he gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural infection, natural function for that which is unnatural. That's lesbianism. And in the same way also, men abandoned their natural function in of a woman and burned in their desire toward one another. That's homosexuality. And what they will say, hate speech. Well, there's a redefining. Look, I'm not saying, God said it is. God said it's evil. I'm telling you what God said. And I'm not ashamed to tell you what God said. Yes, but woke says, I don't care what woke said. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying, if they agree with God, I will agree with them. And men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Where do you think AIDS came from? We ought to love every person no matter who they are. No matter who they are, you love them. Don't mean you agree with what they do. But you love them enough to help them get out of where they are if they want to leave where they are. Look, it was on a Wednesday night. It's been several years ago. On Wednesday night, I was teaching right here, and I had an unction from God to say something. And I knew where it was headed, but I didn't really know the fullness of it. But right there it says, you need to tell people, you need to say to this group of people, there's somebody here that feels like you're stuck and you can't get out. Now, I knew what he was saying. I understood where he was going with it. And I gave that, and this little girl was back at the back there where Brother O.A. is sitting. She bent over and just started weeping on a Wednesday night. So we went back and ministered to her, and then ministered to her afterwards. We didn't try to expose her or anything, but what she was stuck in was lesbianism. She said, I'm stuck. I can't get out. I said, it's not true. You've believed a lie. And we began to got some ladies, and we began to minister to her, and all. And she got free. She got set free. That why we loved her enough. I obeyed God. I mean, it had nothing to do with what we was teaching on. You know, but just obeyed God and did. And then he why did God do that? He wanted her free. He heard her cry for freedom. She just needs somebody. And you know one thing she said? She said, I've talked to Christians before, and everyone that I've talked to has judged me and condemned me. And I said, we don't judge you and we don't condemn you. We love you. But we are going to tell you, this activity is evil. It's not God. But we love you. But listen, set free. Anyway. Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, they didn't see fit. We're not going to acknowledge God any longer. He said he gave them over to a depraved mind, to a reprobate mind. He lifted the restraining influence. This is what you want? Go get it. See, he did that with Israel. He said that Israel wanted all of these things, and God did not want them to go in that direction, to do that. He said, he gave them their desire, but he sent leanness to their soul. There was no fat, there was no anointing. Somebody say amen. Okay, to help the boy out. They could not do the things that which were proper. This thing about reprobate mind, it's undiscerning and it's devoid of the ability to make a righteous judgment. In other words, what is it talking about? It's when you're a man and you think you're a woman. It's when you're a woman and you think you're a man. Well, Pastor, No, God tells you. God tells me. He defined a man and a woman, and that's how he created you. But I don't feel that way. Well, you're about to get turned over. I'm not being harsh. I'm loving you enough to tell you the truth. Now, what will it cost me? Your jury's still out. But I'm going to trust him. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil. I mean, they got so bad that they'll even invent their own evil. Unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, they know the order of God. Although they know the order of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. They already know that. But not only do they do it, but they will give hearty approval to those who practice it. Good job. You're woke. Well, y'all having fun yet?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. The truth stands. The truth will always stand. I'm telling you the reason we have such darkness, and I know the Bible talks about darkness, great darkness. The reason we have such darkness is because the church has not stood up and heralded the truth unafraid of what they may do. We have to be unafraid of what the consequences are. We've got to say the truth. We've got to do the truth. We've got to present the truth so they can know the truth and actually be made free. And that's the word of God. It really is.
Amen.
So, a couple more here. What do we need to do? 1 Peter 1:22. Obey the truth and it will purify your soul. Obey the truth and it'll purify your soul. 1 John 1:6. We are to practice the truth. If we don't practice the truth, we'll walk in darkness. So we've got to practice the truth. Number 3, John 4:4. It says that we should bring great joy to this earth by walking in the truth. Amen. By walking, we are to walk in the truth. Proverbs 23:23 says we ought to buy the truth. In other words, we ought to search out and we ought to make an investment in what's true. Don't invest in the lie. Invest, buy the truth. Buy it, sell it not. That's what it says, buy the truth and sell it not. And here's 2 Thessalonians 2:10. Because they did not receive the love of the truth. If you do not love the truth, you won't obey it. You're not going to practice it. You're not going to walk in it. And you're not going to share it. There has to be a love for the truth in the church that no matter when the truth comes, we'll love it. And where we need to repent, we will repent and move on. Move back toward God. Does that make sense? It says that they did not love the truth, and for this reason, a deluding influence came over them. A deceptive influence. When you do not love the truth, deception will begin to ease in and influence you. You got a church, we have got to love the truth. We got to have a great love for it. I'm not being mean. I'm telling you that we really, our desire, our heart must, we must love the truth. He said, you love the truth, you will not come to the place to where you will take pleasure in wickedness. I said at the beginning, we got a lot of work to do. And you know where it starts? Right here. You and I are his ambassadors. We're the ambassadors of Christ. We need to influence the world. We need to be the conscience of the world. We need to have our conscience being so taught and so revealed that it pricks their heart to follow. So the Bible says this. It says that go out and do the good works. You love each other, go out and do the works. So that when they see your good works, they will glorify your God who is in heaven. How are they going to do that? The conscience is being compared to yours. And they're finding it lacking. How are they going to be able to give? Because they're going to see your good works. Our good works has to be out here. Out and there, not just here, all out there. We need to be able to stand up for truth. We need to be able to tell the truth, even when we know it's going to hurt. Even when we know it may cost us, we need to tell them the truth. They need to hear the truth. And we need to guard that truth with everything that we have. And we need to give it to the world that's groaning to hear it and see it. Amen? So here's the part that I don't know what to do. I think really there needs to be a repentant heart in all of us saying, you know, there's been times where I didn't really embrace the truth. Matter of fact, I got mad at the person that told me the truth. Have you ever been told the truth and just get mad at them? So the reality is, because we don't really want to hear it, because we don't want to be wrong, or we don't want to be looked at like we've done something wrong. But see, the thing is, if you don't hear the truth, you're not gonna adjust your work, and that's just your walk, and that's part of the Holy Spirit guiding you into all truth. I mean, I've had to look at Brenda and say, "That's the truth." That's the truth. Let's stand. Was it the truth today?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word, your spirit. I thank you for the freedom that we have in this country to be able to declare the truth, to say the truth, and to present your way that we may walk in your truth. Teach us to be able to speak the truth at the very timely moments that you've given us. That we will not just love you and love people, but we will make a difference. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I love you. God bless you. Online, you guys can click the videos at fathersvineyard.org and let your children watch it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.